I was having a little trouble figuring out exactly how to categorize this specific video, even with the title in. I'm not sure if this is a weight control video or a video about life going on after smoking, so I think I'm just going to record it and kind of see where it goes. I had a situation, it was in one of the earliest clinics I did when I had left the American Cancer Society and went to a local community hospital to do stop smoking clinics. It was an interesting program I was doing back then. This was back in 1978. It was, again, a small community hospital, but it was a pilot program for the country. And it wasn't a pilot stop smoking program for the country. It was called a good health program. It was a health promotion project that was based out of a hospital. See, up to this point, hospitals were only used to treat sick people. That's how people viewed what a hospital was. And we had people on this board of directors of this one hospital that thought hospitals should be doing more for prevention. So what they were going to do is it was going to be kind of community-based somewhat, but also corporate-based, to offer programs to corporations in the vicinity of where this hospital was. And they were going to go in with screenings where they're going to try to assess the lifestyle, not the disease status necessarily of the employee population, but the lifestyle that they had and what problems that they had that may go on to predict disease. And the areas in the screening that they would do your standard blood tests and, you know, looking for, you know, cholesterol issues. They were doing lifestyle assessments. We were developing all the product for this particular program. As I said, this was a pilot program for the country. This is how it was being viewed. And it was supposed to be a three-year project. It ended up, we went over 20 years, and I left there in 2000. And we had started this with the idea that we were going to bring in experts in different areas to put together a program, not only telling people, oh, look what you're doing wrong, but what you can do about it. I was the first person hired. I was handling the smoking cessation aspect of the program. And that's an easy one to identify. Are you a smoker? You got a health risk. You know, if you're a smoker, you got a health risk. Here's something we can do about it. We're going to do this program. We also, after I was hired, a couple of months later, we brought in a nutritionist. We brought in an exercise physiologist. We brought in a person for stress management. They were all master's positions. And pretty much most of the people were new in the field. They had just got their master's. And, you know, we were in a development phase of a program here. And we were starting to make corporate contacts, setting up screenings, and developing materials to use in these programs. Well, before I had done the clinic already a couple of months. As I said, I was hired before anybody else outside of the director. He was hired about 5 months before me. He brought me in, and I actually did a clinic for them in September of 78. And I only did the opening session. I think I came by one other session just to help out. And in November, I started running the whole clinic. When I was doing it in September, I was kind of volunteering to do this. They hired me to do this in the November clinic. And then it was the right after New Year's in January when the rest of the people came on board. So we had this full staff of people, but we didn't have a lot of programs yet. But we did have the smoking clinic going. Well, I had my second or third clinic already at the hospital, and we had a situation where we had a woman come in, and the first day of the clinic, she says to me, like, she just knows she's going to gain weight from quitting smoking. Everybody gains weight from quitting smoking. I said, well, not everybody gains weight from quitting smoking. Most people do, but most people substitute food. That's why it's going to happen. And she went, no, everybody gains weight. It doesn't make a difference. I have no control over this. I'm going to gain weight no matter what. I said, no, if you're careful, you know, you really can, you know, control your diet. You can do exercise. You can do things to avoid this if you really want to. Well, she wasn't going to hear any of that. She just said, she knows she's going to gain weight. It doesn't make a difference what she does. Well, she starts gaining weight during the clinic, and I mean, she's gaining a couple of pounds a week, but she's calling me not just during the clinic, but after the clinic, and swearing to me she's not eating that much more, she's not eating that much more. She was up like 7 or 8 pounds a month into this program. Now, the first week or two, people can gain weight without eating anything more. They're retaining fluid. They're getting bloated. But that weight will come on. It'll come off pretty much just as quick, you know, once you get through that initial phase period. But this isn't what we're talking about. This was going on now for quite a long time. And I said, you're doing something different, or there's something wrong. You know, you're eating more, or something's going on. She said, no, this is from not smoking. I knew this was going to happen. She's really mad about it. Well, the reason I prefaced this whole opening before about how we had all these other staff people had come on board already we still didn't have any corporate programs lined up for these people to do. I was doing clinics already, but there wasn't anything else where we had the whole screening set up. So we had these full-time, you know, people on staff who were, you know, experts in these fields. We had a nutritionist, and I contacted her. I said, you know, I got this lady in the smoking clinic. She's complaining that she's just gaining weight incessantly just because she's quit smoking. I said, can you work with her? She said, oh, fine. You know, we had plenty of time on our hands. We were doing program development, but it was very flexible what we had going at this point. And she said, sure, you know, put me in touch. So I call the lady and I tell her, you know, I got a nutritionist here. If you want to work with her, you know, the odds are you're eating more or something else is wrong. And she's, again, insistent that nothing is wrong. This is just from not smoking. Well, but she agrees that she will, you know, she'll talk to this nutritionist. Hey, we're offering a free service. What'd she have to lose? Well, the nutritionist, one of the things she does with her is a 24-hour recall. She wants to see what's her diet like, you know, what kind of things are going on. So she sends her out the form. She meets with her on a one-on-one basis. She sends her home with forms, actually. And it's about a week later. The nutritionist calls me up on the phone, and she says, have you talked? And she says, a lady named, have you talked to her in the last few days? And I said, no, you know, it's about a week since I talked to her. And she said, well, she got these dietary recalls back, and she says, something's kind of bizarre here. And, you know, she said she's been trying to reach her and having trouble reaching her, and she wanted to know if I could try to reach her. I said, yeah, no problem. I said, well, you know, what's the problem? She said, well, I keep seeing, like, every, you know, couple of hours, a slice of salami. I said, what? She says, I see a slice of salami every 2 hours. I mean, we're talking about, you know, like 8 to 10 slices a day she seemed like she was eating. And she says, can you find out anything about this? I said, oh, sure. You know, and it took me a couple of days to reach the woman, but I do get her on the phone. And I said, I talked to the nutritionist, and, you know, she had a question. She wanted to, you know, get some sort of, you know, clarification here. She said she's doing your dietary recalls, and she keeps seeing a slice of salami, you know, every 2 hours or so. And she says, well, yeah, you know how during the clinic you talked about how, you know, some people will substitute certain things, and, you know, you had mentioned, you know, if you really have to eat something, you know, take a celery or a carrot. Now, and again, the reason I mentioned celery or carrots is they're low in calories. You're going to get sick and tired of them, and, you know, they're not going to cause you any problem down the line. She said, well, she thought that was a really good idea to put something in her mouth like that, but she didn't really like celery or carrots. So she went out and bought a salami, and she was carving a slice off every couple of hours and rolling into a little cigarette and eating it. Well, here's again where she's saying, well, when I was talking to her prior to this, I'm not eating that much more. She was eating a slice of salami every 2 hours. I mean, we're talking about a lot of calories in every single slice, and she's doing it, you know, 10 times a day. We're talking about a lot of salami here that was getting consumed. So right away, you know, we identified an issue with her. I said, get off the salami. And then again, the nutritionist said the same thing. She showed her what calories she was eating and what this was going to turn into. But this woman said, oh, it doesn't make a difference what I eat. I mean, this is a metabolic thing. This is just what's going to happen to people when they quit smoking. So we said, well, get rid of salami. Yeah. Well, she gets rid of the salami. And her weight gain slows up. But it's still going on. She's still gaining. And a month or so went by. She was up over 7 pounds or so. And, you know, she had now gained quite a bit of weight here, you know, over this. This was now getting close to maybe a 3-month period, you know, from the time this whole thing started. And at this point, and she was still doing the dietary recalls, and because we figured there was something else she was doing that she's not telling us, but she's swearing. She's swearing up and down. She's not eating anymore now. This, you know, she's being honest on the recall. So finally I said, if you're gaining like this still, and you swear you're not eating anymore, get checked out. There's something wrong here. But again, she's refusing. No, this is not smoking. This is what happened. So she doesn't do anything for another month or two. And again, in another month or two, she's still up another 5 or so pounds. So now we're talking about an accumulation. And I think by the time she went to the doctor, she was somewhere between 15 or 20 pounds heavier than before she started this process here. And finally, you know, we convinced her to go to a doctor. I said, if you're telling me the truth, and she's swearing she's telling me the truth, I believe she was telling me the truth, you know, as far as, but I believed it before, but again, her truth was kind of tainted, you know, until we got the recalls back. But I believe she was telling me the truth. I said, get checked out. There's something wrong here. And again, she dismissed it all along. She finally goes to a doctor. Within a matter of days of going to a doctor, she's getting blood tests back. She's got a thyroid problem. And there was a growth on her thyroid. And from the size of the growth, the doctor knew. He said, oh, this thing has been here for at least 6 months to a year. She had an existing problem. And was smoking maybe masking that problem early on? Maybe. Or maybe this was just when it was going to start manifesting, you know, with a symptom. But here what she did is she ignored a symptom her body was telling her. She was gaining weight. She was writing it off to not smoking and doing absolutely nothing about it. She's just going to keep writing it off to not smoking. And what it turned into was she had a condition. She had a condition that needed treatment. She had to have, if I remember right, she had to have surgery for the thyroid. And on top of that, she had now gained all this weight that if she had went in early on, if she had recognized, you know, that because she was gaining weight in a way she shouldn't have, as opposed to writing it off, oh, this is a withdrawal effect, this is what happens to people when they quit smoking, they would have done the surgery probably sooner. They would have had her on medication sooner, and she could have avoided a lot of that weight gain. There may have been some of that weight gain that would have occurred, but it probably wasn't going to be the full amount that she had now put on, and now she's going to have to work at getting off. I mean, the real lesson in here, and again, this is why I'm not sure if this is a weight control one because of what she was doing with the salami, or if it's one about learning to listen to your body. It really is a combination of both, listening to your body and realizing if something is going on beyond the initial withdrawal, that something really isn't right, don't keep writing everything that goes wrong in your life to the fact that you quit smoking. Is it possible that quitting smoking has a potential of maybe causing a problem that's occurring now? Maybe it's possible. But you know what? You're not the one to make that determination. If something is going wrong, get it checked out. If they can't come up with anything else, and all they can say is, it must be because you quit smoking, well, then you may have to accept that premise. But not getting it checked, and now letting a problem exist longer than it should, it's going to cause you probably more complications in treatment, and it's going to put you at greater risk if we're dealing with a problem that really was dangerous and maybe had even life-threatening implications to it. You don't want to write off symptoms now to, oh, I quit smoking, this is why it's happening. Life goes on after you quit smoking. People who never smoked a day in their life get conditions that can be dangerous. People who are ex-smokers get conditions which can be dangerous, and in a sense they get them more often than never smokers. People who smoke get conditions that could be really dangerous, and they get them more than anybody else when it comes down to it, of never smokers or ex-smokers. As soon as you quit smoking, you start reducing risks, but there still are risks there, and you don't want to write off symptoms. It's going to cause you probably more problems down the line and more struggles down the line than if you face them head on. Once you get a clean bill of health and you know things are well, again, the way to stay on that road to getting healthier and healthier throughout your life is to continue to stick with the personal commitment you made the day you stopped to never take another puff.